Thanks a lot. Thanks again for having me here. So I've been working on search for quite a while, and in the last, 4 years or so, I've started doing more and more open source work, and have work on two open source projects, primarily Lucene and Nudge. I'm going to talk a little bit about Lucene, just to give a little context to help define what Nudge is and what Nudge isn't, but mostly be talking about Lucene, about Nudge. Sorry. Lucene is a mature Apache-based open source project. I first wrote the code in 1988, I think, and it was made open source in 2000. So it's been an open source project for 4 years now. It's a Java library for text indexing and search. It's not an application. You can download it and sort of do a little bit out of the box, but it's really not designed for that. It's designed for people to integrate into other applications that want to add search to an application. So it's really a search technology rather than a search engine, as it were. It's got a pretty good community of contributors now, more and more all the time. It's behind a lot of websites and a lot of applications out there. I don't know if you've heard of Zoe or Jira or Lookout or Furl or any of these things, but there's lots of people who have integrated Lucene in either websites or in applications, searching things like email. Furl or Jira does bug reports, and so things like that. Applications where you want to have search, it's very handy because, among other things, it doesn't assume anything about the documents that you're searching. It doesn't, you know, expect them to be HTML pages on a web server or something. It's much more general than that as a tool. The URL is here. It's, as I said, an Apache project. There's a book about Lucene coming out this summer, and it's a fairly mature thing. On the other hand, Nudge is very young. Nudge has really been around for a little over a year, and so we haven't had a 1.0 release yet. It's still, you know, still sort of beta software. It is an application. It's not a technology. It is something that we expect people to be able to download and run. It's not necessarily an end user application. It's an application that we expect people who run sites to download and run. There's only two people who were paid to work on Nudge primarily. There's myself and one other fellow. And we're only able to work on it, or only paid to work on it, part-time. And the other fellow is a guy named Mike Caffarella, and he's currently in graduate school. He started school since Nudge got going, and isn't able to work very much on Nudge these days. So there isn't a lot of committed developers yet. We're getting more and more volunteer contributions. There's a few people in this room who've contributed to Nudge. And some of those people are people who are doing it as a part of their work. They're working for companies that are interested in using Nudge or already using Nudge. And some of them are just doing it because they think it's a good thing to do. So we're seeing some of both of those. And there's, you know, several sites now that are using Nudge, and more as we go forward. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what Nudge isn't. It's not a business. We do have a corporation, a nonprofit legal entity that owns the copyright. So this is purely for legal purposes. It's much like the Apache Foundation. We assign the copyright of the software to the Nudge organization, and that way it gives some legal insulation against lawsuits. Because the individual developers aren't the owners of the software. It's owned by this nonprofit corporation. It also gives us something to assign the copyright to besides individuals. So we can do things like choose which license we want to use and change that license, and all that's required. We need a legal entity in order to do that. We have no employees. Don't expect to ever have employees. We have a little bit of cash, a few $100s that I don't know what we'll do with. So we haven't spent any money. We've gotten some donations, and I think it's a few $100s at this point. It's not a search site. We want to. We don't expect people to, you know, go to nuts.org to do their searching. We'd rather be the software behind lots of search sites. And both, you know, whole web search engines like Google and Yahoo, but also smaller niche domain-specific search engines and intranet search engines. You've got a couple of web servers on a campus or inside of a company, and you want to make those searchable. That should be a good application for Nutch as well. It also isn't a research project. We want it to be a platform that people can do research on top of. But we don't want Nutch itself to be experimental. We want it to be something that really works and that uses proven techniques. So we're happy for somebody to take it and do some experiments and discover that something is a great way to do things, and then we'll incorporate it in. But we don't think of the Nutch project itself as a research project. We want it to always be something people can download and actually use to get things done. Unlike a lot of open source projects, Nutch has some explicit civic goals, which you sort of alluded to, which is, in particular, we want to increase the transparency of web search. As Jeanette mentioned, search is essential to navigating the internet these days. Most people use it daily to find things. You use a search engine daily, and really couldn't use the internet nearly as effectively without a search engine. But the problem is that the algorithms that web search engines use are kept secret. So you don't know why a given page ranks the way it does, and why you're shown which pages you're shown, and why you're not shown other pages. So there's the opportunity for abuse, which in general is a bad thing. It's not that we necessarily think, or I necessarily think, it's being abused today. So much as it could be abused, and because of that, it will be abused at some point, probably, unless things change somewhat. And we need some sort of system, some sort of auditability, so that we can check that web search engines are doing the right thing, that they aren't, you know, sending us more towards their advertisers or towards the, you know, political views that they believe or whatever. Even if they are, that we know that, I guess, is really what's going on here. Google actually claims in their literature that they use objective algorithms. And I find that kind of strange, because anything that's selecting pages for you to view based on a query is pretty subjective. The whole nature of the problem is a very subjective one. There is no, I don't believe, necessarily an objective reality here in the space of web search. I think they're trying to do something, they're trying to do a good job and trying to satisfy most people, but it's still subjective. And it would be good to know what their biases are. What, you know, are they interested in sites that are larger? And, you know, it would serve society better, I think, if these things weren't secret. Another problem people have observed is that there's only a couple of web search engines. So it's difficult to really compare them when there's a couple of them and they're located about 10 miles apart. And they both try to pretty much reproduce, or they all try to reproduce what, you know, one another do. There's Google and Yahoo today are the big search providers, and Microsoft is soon to make it three. But it's not, it seems like too few to me, certainly. So an open source implementation of the software that these sorts of places run could help a lot, I believe. It could, you know, in the free as in beer sense of open source, can enable more search engines to be launched, which would increase competition. And that alone, actually, maybe doesn't increase transparency, but it lets you compare things. If you have a search engine that's run by a very different institution in a different country, you'd expect its biases to be different. And although most people maybe only use one search engine, someone who really cared could go and try a different search engine. It's sort of like, people in the U.S. probably mostly receive their news from one of, you know, three sources, one of three TV networks or something. But you still can go and buy a newspaper from other parts of the world, or go to a news site on the web for another part of the world and get other opinions. With search engines today, it's really hard to even do that. You're kind of stuck with a couple of search engines that are out there, that are the only people who are really indexing and making all of the web available for search. And then also it can enable the free as in freedom sense of transparency, in that, you know, one can actually see why sites rank as they do and understand the operations of the search engine, which is clearly better yet. And again, it's not something that most people are probably going to look at. You know, most people are not qualified to look at ranking algorithms. But the fact that some people can provide some guarantees to society. It's sort of like most people don't read the laws that are published that they live under. But they're glad that the laws are in fact published and not kept secret, because some people can read them and can protest when they think the laws are bad laws, and can rephrase the laws in ways that other people can understand. I think it's a pretty good analogy for what goes on with search engines. Right now there are laws that govern what you can see and what you can't see, but the laws are secret. So we also have technical goals, obviously. We want Nuts to be able to scale to the entire web, which today means talking to millions of different web servers, billions of pages overall. I think these days the big search engines are doing 4-5 billion pages, something like that. A complete crawl of them takes some weeks to do. The data is very noisy. There's a lot of bad HTML out there, a lot of bad everything, flaky networks. So it's a major undertaking in lots of senses. We also on the search side need to be able to support high traffic, to be very scalable. Ideally you want the software to be able to handle up to thousands of searches a second. And we want state-of-the-art quality. We basically want it all. It's a lot. But I think it's actually well within the reach of an open source project. It's not. I think there's a sense that people have that Google, by hiring all these smart people and working so hard, has know something that other people don't know, and they have some secrets that enable them to do a better job than anyone else. And I simply don't believe that. I think they are doing a good job. Yahoo was able to in a matter of fairly short time, do a pretty equivalent job. I don't know if you've looked at Yahoo's search engine since they relaunched it, 4 or 5 months ago. I think it's as good as Google. And it didn't take them long after buying some companies to do that. The fact is that the techniques that these guys are using are not secrets, I don't think. I think it's a lot of tuning it, a lot of attention to details, and a lot of operational expertise at running thousands of machines. Those are, I think, the hard problems. Is the attention to detail, which is expensive if you're going to deploy it in the large scale, and the operations. But the core software itself, I don't think is. I mean, it's good. I don't mean to disparage the companies, but it's not something that other people can't reproduce. And with each generation, it gets easier to do if you're not doing it the first time. So I'm going to describe the architecture of Nuts very briefly. The heart of Nuts's back-end processing is what we call the web database. This stores information about every page that every URL we've ever seen, and all the links between pages that we've seen. From that, we generate a list of pages to fetch. Then we grab them, we download all those pages, And then the output goes in two directions. We both send it back into the database to update because we've discovered new things, new links, and want to add them into the database, which then those new links imply new pages that are out there that might need to be fetched. And then we also take the output and we can index it and search it. Fairly straightforward. Seems obvious. So a little bit more about the web database. There's two parts to it, as I mentioned. There's one that's a database of all the pages we've seen, and then there's the database of all the links we've seen. And it turns out links outnumber pages by, depending on how you do things, 5 or 10 to 1. There's a lot more links out there. So that's the bottleneck. For every page you fetch, you have to do 5 or 10 updates in the link database. If you're doing billions of pages, even if you have a month to do a billion pages, you can't do 10 billion updates in a copy of Oracle or something, even in a month. It's hard to do that many inserts. So you need some technology that's really optimized for this problem. And we've actually built most of that. It stores a full graph, full link graph of the web, keeps the anchor text associated with each link. This is very important so that if you've got a link from one page to another, the text that appears on the page, typically underlined in blue, is a very, very high quality source of text to associate with the page that it's linked to. So, for example, if we consider the Nutch homepage might have the word Nutch on it a couple of times, as do a fair number of other pages on the web. And the reason, if you search for Nutch, that the Nutch homepage comes in first, comes up, is ranked first by most search engines, is because there's also a lot of links with the word Nutch in them that link to the Nutch homepage, and there's very few links with the word Nutch in their anchor text that link to other sites. This anchor text indexing is thought to be the dominant advantage that actually Google brought to the table when they launched. No one else was doing this, and they started doing this. The thing they get more publicity for is the PageRank algorithm, which is generally called a link analysis, where they analyze the graph of links. You probably all heard about this. Try to find sites and pages that are referenced by other popular sites and pages, roughly speaking. And most people think that's the magic of Google. When it helps some, I think, but I think the anchor text is actually helping things more, is what there have been research papers that have demonstrated this, as well as my anecdotal experience shows that. So as I already mentioned, this is not a relational database. This is some hand-coded stuff that's optimized to this problem. So in terms of scalability, we've done pretty well so far. We can do over 100 pages a second on a single processor, which means we can get about 10 million pages a day per machine, and we can fetch on a number of machines in parallel. So we're scalable in how much we can download. Database we can do, we can update a database of about 100 million pages and keep up with fetching, so at about 100 per second, 100 page updates per second until the database gets to be to represent 100 million pages. At that point, we need to move to a distributed system where there's multiple machines running the database. Our distributed database implementation is still in progress. It's there, it works, but it's not quite what it should be, but we're pretty close. The distributed search has been implemented so that you can deploy your search over a number of machines, each searching a smaller database, which makes it so that you can use one machine and search fairly slowly or with a fairly small amount of traffic, or if you have a very large database and lots of traffic, you can spread the searching over lots of machines. And also, interestingly, we scale down pretty well. You can run Nutch on a single machine, fetch and index and search, several million pages pretty easily. We haven't done a lot of evaluation of the quality. That's a, you know, the key thing in all this is not just having the performance, but having the quality right. There was a fellow who volunteered, and I created an index of Oregon State University's campus, which also has a Google appliance that they pay a large amount of money for every year. So they were able to compare head-to-head, not searching the same data as a Google appliance. And we actually did quite well. We don't do as well searching the whole web. It's a much harder problem. Searching a campus is you know, a lot easier. But we were pretty pleased with what he found. Again, this was subjective. This was, you know, this is like, you know, one of Microsoft's research studies, which you know, I wouldn't trust it too far. But I think the thing is that for internet kinds of things, I think we're pretty close. And this is the reason why this is especially interesting is what Nutch really needs is developers. And there are some, you know, developers out there who might be interested in deploying whole web search engines, but not that many people really have the resources at this point to try to do that. And people are not willing to maybe bet on Nutch until it's proven itself as being having the quality and having the scalability, I think. So how do we get there? And the way we can attract developers in the meantime is there's lots of sites that want to do search of their intranets and are not very happy with the solutions that are out there, or that want to deploy a search engine in some sort of niche. You know, you're maybe searching all the pages in a relatively small country, in domains that are in that country, or, you know, some subject area that you happen to be very interested in, some academic area. And so applications like that, I think it's much easier for us to get on a par and exceed anything else that's out there. And that's a strategically a good way to attract lots of developers and build up a community that can really, really make this thing work well and then help to propel it so that we can get people to deploy it on a large scale. So I won't go over this in any more detail. I assume you could read that. I can give you a few quick demonstrations of Nutch. Originally, we started the beginning of last year working on Nutch, and in the first 6 months, had a team of three of us that worked pretty hard, nearly full-time on it. And we built a demo of 100 million pages, which Yahoo still runs here. Things have improved a lot since then, but you know, it's still up there. It's kind of nice. So I can search for Wizards of OS. And because this was a year ago, they don't have Wizards of OS 3, but they have Wizards of OS 2. And for some reason, there's two versions of it, you know, a bug. I don't know why, but I hope it's been fixed. That's all I can say. Let's go back to the slides. Then there's a couple of companies, Mozdex and Object Search, which are people who I've never met who just have independently downloaded Nutch and started running what, you know, are presumably intend to be commercial search engines based on Nutch. So if I can download this one. Well, I don't know if you can see the little busy thing up there. It's trying to find it. Maybe that one's dead right now. Try another one. Well, that's not the window I want, is it? There we go. Sorry. Amateur hour. And we'll just leave it at that. Object Search, that was the next one I wanted to show. These guys are up. I think they don't have Wizards of OS either, but they have some references to it. They have a reference to my blog here. Always good. You know, it's there. They've downloaded the software. They keep it running. These guys don't have ads. The other guys... where is it? Mozdex, where they have URC, actually is running advertisements related to the search results. So they're a for-profit effort to run a search engine. Some intranet installations at Cornell their library is using a version of Nutch. I don't know, we can search for computer science. So this is actually the search implementation for Cornell's library. And now I can show you a feature. They've actually hidden it here. I don't know if you can see that when the cursor lights up when over here, there's something here that is not shown. And this is a feature that Nutch has, which you won't find at Google, which is our transparency feature, which we will explain to you why each result scores the way it does. So these are all the components that went into the score for that page, ranking as it does. Again, not for the amateur, but still, I've talked to folks at Google, and they say, oh, yeah, we have that, but not for the public use. And at Nutch, we do it for the public. Let's see. This is the Oregon State thing, which is, as I mentioned, the one that was evaluated, it also has the explain. This isn't, unlike the Cornell one is actually being used by the Cornell Library. This is just something that we put together as a demonstration for Oregon State. They're still using the Google appliance. I'd like to work with them more and get them to switch over and use this instead. And finally, this is something that just somebody developed in the last week or so, which I can't make much sense of because I don't speak German, as you probably noticed. This is based on Nutch, and it's, I believe, finding restaurants in Stuttgart. And one interesting thing that he's done is, this is a real site out there, added a feature to Nutch where you can search for things within a particular distance of where you are, which is, you've seen this in other search engines. The nice thing about this is if you were, say, to be using a Google appliance, could you easily add this kind of a feature? And you can't really. So this is another advantage of an open source implementation, is that it's very easy to extend. If you've got metadata that you want to add into that your site needs, if you buy commercial software, you're going to have a much harder time getting that indexed and adding that into your search, whereas with open source, he was able to do it in a matter of weeks. Pretty handy. All right, let's go back. Enough demos. A little bit about our current status. Because people have wanted to do extend Nutch, we've initially didn't think of all the ways that they might want to. In the last month or so, I've started re-architecting it to make it much easier. So that you can plug in different protocols if you want to not just access HTTP content, but things that are on FTP servers, things that are on on files on your local machine, things that maybe you're getting from an SQL database, et cetera, that's now easy to do. Originally we only handled HTML content, and now we're able to plug in handlers for other sorts of content. I think even more interesting, starting to get into features to support metadata indexing. So if you want to index the locations of things, the prices of things, the license that something is available under, et cetera, then you can add that. Along with that, of course, you need to add query operators so that people can actually use that new search feature. I've started working with the Creative Commons, who's launching Creative Commons Germany here tomorrow, by coincidence, to develop a search engine for them so that at the Creative Commons website you can search all of the Creative Commons licensed content that's available on the web. It's kind of interesting for the way that you find that content is because whenever you identify that your content is covered under Creative Commons license, you put a link into the Creative Commons website to an image, the little CC logo you've probably seen around. It's on the Wizards of OS website. Which creates an entry in the Creative Commons log for the refer page that it came from, and so you can use that and mine that to find all the pages that have Creative Commons licenses. So I'm working with them to build a search engine based on Nutch, and then you can actually query and you can find, for example, they want to be able to let you search for music which permits you to do something in a way, you know, permit certain operations that other music might not, and things like that, because people can use different Creative Commons licenses for different purposes. You know, maybe permission. You know, you could search for images that can be used, can be redistributed for non-commercial use. Something like that would be a good search. So that's all my prepared comments. If you have more interest or questions, you could visit the Nutch website or send me an email. I'll try to get back. I wanted to thank Stefan Groschamp and his colleagues at MediaStyle, who've done the Nutch logo and the site design, volunteered that, and are here today. And I think I won't take questions now. I think we'll wait until we've both talked, unless there's something immediately about what I said that people want to ask about. Should we wait for questions?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thank you.